Cloudcast Media presents from the massive studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome back to The Cloudcast. We are coming to you live from the massive Cloudcast studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hope everybody is doing well and other Sunday perspectives as we continue to move through April 2024. The month is going quickly. The weather is sort of all over the place, at least here in the States. It feels like sometimes it gets warm, and then the next day it's cold. We've seen some crazy, I think it snowed out in Denver, Colorado this past weekend. I know we got some snow in the North Carolina mountains not more than a week or so ago, and it was 80-something degrees yesterday and about 55 or 60 degrees today here in North Carolina. So a lot of still a lot of fluctuation to the year in terms of weather and all sorts of things like that. But I hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody is, getting a chance to enjoy the spring, or I guess the fall if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. Today, I want to talk a little bit about something that doesn't get a lot of discussion, but, you know, as I kind of typically go through the week and do Sunday perspective, I try and grab some things that were relevant to the week. And at least over the weekend for me, the weekend seemed like it was all about maintenance and maintenance in the concept of I had some things I had to do from a car perspective. I need to get oil change. So something that you absolutely can't not do. We had the AC maintained in the house. So they're on a 6-month basis, somebody comes out and takes care of the air conditioning system, make sure the coils work, make sure there aren't things that are broken, puts fluids in there, all sorts of things. Those are more like you should do them, but if you don't do them, the system's probably going to keep working. It's just going to eventually work less efficiently, which means that down the road, you're sort of pushing costs down the road. And then I spent a bunch of time doing some power washing, which is one of those things that while you're doing it is not terribly enjoyable when you get done doing it. Depending on your proclivity for doing anything outside or doing any sort of work around the house, can be weirdly satisfying because especially if things are sort of messy. In our case, we are cleaning pollen off the house. We talk about pollen all the time in the springtime. But it's weirdly satisfying when you get it done. So it is one of those maintenance things that is painful and ugly and difficult while you're doing it because it's very messy and very, in this case, a lot of water splashing around and so forth. Also kind of wrenching on your back, not the most fun thing to do. But I thought I would dive into maintenance a little bit today, not for any reason that like maintenance is this fascinating topic, but for some reason, we have had a bunch of issues in the community, a bunch of headlines in the community about maintenance. And maintenance is one of those things that is, it goes underreported until there are big problems. It gets neglected and forgotten about until there are problems, or until something significantly changes from a maintenance cost perspective. So I thought it would be interesting to sort of take the 3 or 4 sort of headlines that have been popping up around maintenance the last few weeks and sort of wrap them together in one big Sunday perspective. So with that, we will do that this week. Welcome back to the Cloudcast. Welcome to the second half of the show. We're going to talk about maintenance. As we mentioned at the top of the hour, maintenance is one of those things that we don't typically see as a headline in the tech community unless something significantly changes around maintenance, whether that is the cost of maintenance, the amount of time it takes to do maintenance, or if there is some significant problem that happens, oftentimes the blame gets put on those people that should have been responsible for the maintenance, if there was somebody who should have been responsible. And oftentimes we realize that the people or person who should have been responsible also had a lot of other things going on and may or may not have prioritized the level of maintenance that people have come to expect, whether or not they paid for that or not. So we start to realize that the expectation of maintenance is high. The application of maintenance is oftentimes low or lower in terms of other stuff. So I thought we'd dive into it. And there was a number of things that sort of popped up recently. Well, first one was, and I'm just going to throw these out. These aren't in any sort of priority order. They're just more sort of chronological order. The first was a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, AWS announced that they were increasing the price of sort of longer running EKS clusters. So in essence, Amazon said, if you continue to run a cluster with an old version of Kubernetes, so let's say, so Kubernetes is now up to like 129 or 130. Let's say you're still running a version that is, 120, 124, 120, whatever. So you've gotten outside of the normal kind of maintenance window that they have for For Kubernetes, they are actually increasing the price to 6x what it previously was before. So I think it went from 10 cents an hour to 60 cents an hour, but in essence, 6x. And their rationale for it, or at least the perceived rationale for it, was if you are continuing to run on old versions of Kubernetes, that puts a maintenance burden on AWS, on the EKS team, and therefore, more people have to do regression testing. They have to keep up with things. They're probably having to do support for older versions. They're maybe having to keep up with documentation, whatever those extra things might be. And so in essence, they're saying, if you do that, as opposed to keeping up with sort of the normal maintenance pattern or timing of Kubernetes, we're going to charge you extra because we're having to do extra work. And, their people may agree with that. They may say, yeah, if you're doing things around cloud native, you should keep up with that. And if you get, sort of long and lacking in that, that burden should be shared somehow between the people who provide the service and you providing extra in terms of payment. Others would argue, well, I haven't done anything wrong. Why should I have to pay extra for that? So that was one instance where maintenance kind of popped up from a cost perspective. The next was, and we've talked about this a number of times on the show, Broadcom has changed the licensing structure for VMware from primarily perpetual licensing, in which you paid for the software. Essentially, you paid for it one time, and then on an annual basis, you were paying for maintenance, typically 20-25%, 15-25% of the overall cost for maintenance. And that was, continue to be able to get support, continue to be able to get patches, continue to be able to get new iterations of the software. And so what they did was they've sort of changed your cost from an ongoing basis of being primarily maintenance to paying for the entire product every year. And this isn't, again, we've talked about this a bunch of times, this isn't specific to Broadcom. This is, becoming a kind of a big, an industry trend in which subscription-based pricing is the more normal thing that we see, especially as we see more things move to SaaS, but software companies are starting to adopt this as well. But again, it brings to the forefront of, well, what are you really paying for? What are you expecting in terms of the pace of innovation versus the pace of, or the, the kind of the clarity and the, veracity of getting security patches. Veracity is the wrong word there. Sorry, Stu, I'm sure you're going to let me know about that. But, kind of the quickness in which you get security patches, the robustness in which you get various types of things. So, it's once again an issue of, changing the pricing of what you may have used to think of as maintenance to now being, okay, it's kind of a complete cost in that, right? Another one that we saw related to Broadcom and VMware was we've heard a number of instances in which customers have said, well, we were a perpetual license, so we have the software, and we got the new pricing from Broadcom, and it was more than we expected, or it was on a different timing schedule than we expected. And therefore, we are not going to move from perpetual licensing to subscription licensing, at least at this time. And, that essentially is putting the leverage back on the customer to try and say, if you want more money from me, maybe you're going to provide some sort of more value. The burden it put on the customer was if you didn't sign it for subscription, there was the risk that, well, you're not going to get updates anymore because that's how it works. So VMware came back and said, well, we don't want to put our customers into a bad situation. We are going to give free security patches for people who have perpetual licenses. You wouldn't get necessarily new versions, but they're going to do patches back to some, some level, some reasonable, version back into, into the past and so forth. So, they sort of have to hedge their bets on maintenance, right? In essence, they are trying to extend an olive branch along the lines of maintenance security patches in particular. And then obviously, we saw this, this thing recently, I think it was X, I want to call it XZ. It's the Linux thing that was doing compression, which we recently saw the possibility of sort of bad actors trying to infiltrate that really popular Linux package. I believe it's called XZ. I'll find a link to it. There's a really good podcast on the Oxide podcast talking about this, but it highlights that, an application that is widely used, but is maintained by you know, very likely one person, sort of the old XK, XKCD, I think is the funny cartoon that's always out there. And it talks about, you know, how the internet is all basically a bunch of Lego blocks that at the bottom of the Lego stack is like one random maintainer working on something. It could be an SSH thing. It could be some, you know, something that everybody tends to use. And therefore we assume, well, there must be a set of people that are keeping up with this. It's so widely used. It's so popular. And oftentimes it comes down to being one person. And so the reason I brought all this stuff up, and I brought it up in the context of me doing yard work and having things maintained around my house and cars and stuff, was, you know, kind of the weird relationship that we have with maintenance in the tech industry, right? You know, the very first thing that's sort of weird is we oftentimes hear, you know, you read a Gartner study, you read a Forrester study, you read some sort of TCO study, or you, you know, you just interview CIOs and so forth, and they'll often tell you, well, we spend about 70 to 80% of our budget every year just keeping the lights on, right? Just doing maintenance, maintaining existing systems. And then, you know, the other 20% or so is for innovation. And so you go, okay, so the bulk of your budget every year is essentially maintenance, right? But yet as an industry, we, you know, so what our customers pay for and what our customers value, or anybody's customers pay for and value, is ultimately maintenance, because they are saying, look, the systems we have in place are incredibly valuable to us. They help us run the business. They help us make money. They are the things that we put the most of our money into every year. We can't necessarily keep up with training new people on new skills or all these other things. And yet the sort of selling part of the industry and the media part of our industry, the analyst part of our industry, almost entirely focuses on new innovation, right? The glorification of innovation, the glorification of founders, the glorification of new features that come out every time. And we essentially downplay all the things that are maintenance. And we do it in that we don't give it press time. We don't give it keynote time. Everything having to do with maintenance is sort of given a name that, you know, portrays itself as either boring or problematic or whatever. So, you know, all maintenance is sort of lumped under release notes. Okay. Well, we will give it the title of notes, right? Notes being not terribly important. It's not the release manifesto. It's not the release, covenant. It's release notes. We talk about technical debt, right? We don't talk about technical improvement. We talk about technical debt. We talk about, not technical enhancement, not technical cleaning, not technical, whatever it might be, not even like technical checkups. We call it technical debt. And then, you know, we got sort of cutesy for a little while there, and we called things like chaos engineering, right? Like, we're going to build something into the system that's sort of going to figure out if our system is prepared, you know, to maintain itself, right? We called it chaos engineering. We used to call it backup and recovery. But we don't kind of give it any sort of thing in which we should appreciate it. We basically treat it as if it's a sort of terrible bad thing. And so I got to wondering, you know, as I thought about the AWS way that they're changing their pricing model on some stuff versus how Broadcom's changing their model versus other, you know, how other companies do it. And there are companies out there who will, you know, if you come back and say, for example, hey, I don't have the time or the people, or I don't want to put the effort into maintaining this thing, can I just pay you essentially for an extended insurance policy on an old version of software, an old version of hardware, an old version of something? Because I don't want to change it. I don't have the time, nor the inclination, nor the people, nor the ability to create a maintenance window. And so again, there's different approaches to it. There's different feedback that people, users of the market, customers of the market have. And so, you know, it got me thinking, you know, should we encourage a lack of maintenance versus, you know, constantly focusing on innovation? And by that, I don't mean like we should encourage people to just neglect their systems, but, you know, should we be encouraging with things like extended life support contracts or other things to allow people to say, like, yeah, it's fine. It's just fine if you keep the systems you have in place. If they're working fine, you know, the old sort of, it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, should we encourage that versus this constant fascination we have with innovation? Should we encourage active maintenance, right? Sort of the AWS EKS approach of like, if you keep up with the versions of Kubernetes that you're running more actively, or you're just willing to blow up your clusters, blow up the, you know, kind of older-ish clusters for new clusters, should you be rewarded for that versus higher costs? And, you know, I think it's one of those, like, we have a tendency in our industry to make it a black and white discussion, like, oh, this is how it should be. But I think the reality is, like, you're going to go to most companies and you're going to have a kind of a mix of both, right? There's going to be parts of the things that you do that are maybe driven by innovation, in which you should keep up with the latest version of a Kubernetes cluster. You're also going to have, you know, applications that run on those Kubernetes clusters that you really just want to run for a long, long time. And you probably don't ever want to change them, right? Like those are the versions that are still running old versions of Linux, or they're running. And it's weird because we say, well, it's running an old version. They're running stable. They're running, maintained. They're running, you know, revenue producing types of things, right? This is where we get into the sort of the nuance of language around things, is we tend to always go, oh, they're old, they're legacy. But again, they are the things that the business relies on. So, you know, it did get me thinking, should we encourage a lack of maintenance? Should we encourage active maintenance? Should it just sort of follow the sort of 80-20 of where we put our, you know, our dollars annually in sort of maintaining things versus another? The other thing was, is there a way to put respect, I guess, on maintenance, on the work that's done with maintenance, whether that's, you know, recognizing OSS maintainers, right? So for example, if you are the CNCF, instead of, having a thing on day one where you bring out every single project and the project tells you about all the new things they're doing or how many stars they have, should you just bring up the maintainers and let the maintainers essentially be the rock stars of your keynote, right? Should that be something that we should start to encourage? Because we are seeing more and more maintainer burnout. We see the thing that happens with projects that get started and the maintainers are sort of, you know, it's, people are excited to be a maintainer. We see companies fighting to be able to place maintainers on projects. But after a year or two, we sort of forget about those projects. We sort of forget about the excitement of something new about a project. And then we sort of forget about it. So, you know, it doesn't have to be the CNCF, it doesn't have to be KubeCon, but should there be more visibility placed on the maintainers, right? Should there be active, you know, things in which, you know, the industry as a whole or the companies that rely on certain things, be looking to do funding activities in which people can either, you know, if they're aware of it, help with funding, have groups that do active funding for maintainers, just like, people do for, you know, funding of charities or funding of anything else that sometimes maybe gets neglected or overlooked. I'll sort of wrap this up because talking about maintenance again isn't always the most interesting or sexy thing or whatever. But I do think there is a lot of opportunity, especially as we rely more and more and more on systems that we have, and we tend to forget about them at times. You know, what are some of the maintenance best practices that you all use, right? And they could be as simple as password rotation. They could be as simple as here's the frequency at which we do backups and DR sort of testing. But I'm curious, what are the ones that the sort of maintenance practices that you all use that you find are well worth the time, that you can justify to the business? Because anytime you're doing maintenance, oftentimes the business feels like, well, you're taking time away from doing productive things, or you're doing things that are driving innovation or sort of differentiating the business or differentiating the product. I'm curious what people do today in terms of, what do you do for maintenance to not make it seem like a tedious thing, like it's, cleaning stuff or, scraping the dirt off stuff? Or, do you have a way of using language within your organization? Do you have a way of trying to highlight it in terms of the value that it brings in terms of maintenance? Are there things you do to make maintenance seem good? Or are there things that you have to do from a maintenance perspective that just seem, bad, that, are creating other bad habits within your organization? So I'll be curious, feedback wise, we've been getting some great feedback from people on all sorts of things. And I do want to recognize those. I want to try and do a show here pretty soon to sort of recognize a lot of the, the really interesting feedback, the feedback that people have been telling me, like, hey, it was okay, the show you did, but I'm an expert in that space. Let me kind of give you my two cents. But I'm curious, your sort of goods and bads feedback on maintenance, goods and bad practices on around maintenance, and just, you know, how maintenance is looked at in your organization. Because I do feel like it's something that we don't talk about very much. We do like to criticize organizations when something breaks and it turns out that they were, you know, a little behind in their maintenance. But I'd be curious if there's anything about maintenance that it gets you excited, it is incredibly burdensome, the sort of goods and bads of it as well. So with that, I'll wrap it up. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for, once again, you know, telling a friend, helping us grow the show. Again, the feedback has been really, really good lately. There's a number of them that I need to get back to people on, but a lot of people, you know, again, reaching out to us directly, reaching out to, you know, show@thecloudcast.net, sending me a DM, and sending us an email. We really appreciate that because, again, it lets us know that the stuff we talked about is somewhat interesting to you, but B, a lot of times you guys are reaching out and telling us that, you know, we got something wrong or we didn't go into enough depth on something, or, you know, we really missed an important angle. And so we appreciate you guys, keeping us in check because our goal is not to just, you know, talk for 20 or 30 minutes, but to provide something valuable. And if we're not getting something right, or if we could do a better job, we really appreciate the feedback. So we appreciate everyone who, you know, has the courage to send us stuff, because oftentimes they'll send us and they'll say, hey, I'm not sure if this is the right way to do it. We love the feedback. So please continue to do that if it's appropriate and valuable to the conversation. So with that, I'll wrap it up. Thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.